Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sullivan & Cromwell's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I am Sharon Cohen-Levin. I'm a partner in the litigation group and in the firm's criminal defense and investigations group. In particular, I work with financial institutions. What I'll be discussing today is the guidance that federal and state regulators have issued to the institutions they regulate in response to the COVID-19 outbreak. Now, two regulators have issued some helpful guidance within the last week or so. First, I'll discuss the guidance issued by the New York State Department of Financial Services on March 12th, and then I'll speak about about FinCEN's guidance that was issued on March 16th this week, which relates to the bank to financial institutions' Bank Secrecy Act reporting obligations. So first, turning to the New York State Department of Financial Services guidance. So on March 12th, 2020, the superintendent of New York State Department of Financial Services issued an order granting temporary relief from certain requirements of the New York banking and financial services laws and the related regulations. And this was issued to the regulated entities affected by COVID-19. The superintendent explained in the order that New York State Department of Financial Services, or DFS, was issuing the order to help regulated entities meet their ongoing compliance obligations under the New York banking and financial services laws while trying to manage or deal with the disruptions that are associated with the COVID-19 outbreak, the kind of disruptions that we're all dealing with right now. This is very welcome relief, as I can imagine, for all different institutions that are trying to really deal with this crisis. So the relief that was granted, there were some key forms of relief, and they include, first, with respect to temporary relocations or closures that the regulated entities, and just to remind you, the regulated entities include banking organizations and foreign banking corporations, and these entities may temporarily relocate any of their authorized places of business or close any of their branch offices or locations without complying with the prior notice or application requirements of the banking or financial services laws. That is, provided that the entity, the regulated entity, submits prompt written notice to the superintendent and all the activities conducted from the relocated place of business remain subject to the regulation and supervision of DFS. The order also addressed the filing deadlines. DFS granted a 45-day extension of the due date for certain filings from regulated entities and for these entities that are unable to meet the original due date because of the COVID-19 outbreak. And these extensions include, but are not limited to, sort of the key ones are the certifications of compliance with cybersecurity requirements that are required under 23 NYCRR 500.17B, and the transaction monitoring and filtering program certifications that are required by 3 NYCRR 504.4. Then some of the other requirements that are deadlines that are extended are for annual reports and comparative statements of commercial banks, trust companies, stock form savings banks, and stock form savings and loan associations, as is required by 3 NYCRR 24, and the volume and operation reports of mortgage bankers and mortgage brokers, as required by 3 NYCRR 410.7, that's 410.7. In addition, with respect to in-person presence at board meetings, to satisfy the requirements of in-person participation at meetings of an institution's board of directors or trustees, or any committee of the board or the trustees, a regulated entity, including a bank, trust company, investment company, savings and loan association, or credit union, may use telephones and video conferences instead of requiring the in-person presence of board meetings. This is very welcome relief, and it's, you know, quite practical in light of what we're all dealing with, but there are some limits to the relief that's been provided. The order explicitly notes that all individuals that work for a regulated entity that are conducting licensable activity from temporary locations due to the outbreak of COVID-19 shall remain subject to the full supervision and oversight of the DFS. In addition, regulated entities and individuals that work for them must continue to maintain appropriate safeguards and controls to maintain the safety and soundness of the regulated entity, including, but not limited to, controls related to data protection and cybersecurity. And then the order further notes that individuals working for regulated entities may not conduct licensable activities with members of the public at or from their personal residences. It's also important to note that the order does not modify the deadlines for notifying the DFS of a cybersecurity event or the submission of a LIBOR cessation and transition plans. Now, who does the order apply to? What does the order apply to? The order applies to COVID-19 affected regulated entities and persons, but the order does not define what qualifies as COVID-19 affected. But given the order's relief to regulated entities that have closed or temporarily relocated an authorized business location and the mention of employees working from their personal residences, the order should be interpreted to apply to a regulated entity that has closed a pace of business or instructed its employees to work remotely. In addition, the provision granting a filing extension for certain compliance certifications and reports applies to regulated entities and persons unable to meet filing deadlines due to the outbreak of COVID-19. This broad language should be sufficient to cover regulated entities that are unable to meet the filing deadlines due to a wide variety of issues, including illnesses or absence of employees, delays in the ability to gather information for the purposes of reporting, and delays associated with constrained staffing or technological resources as the regulated entities respond to the COVID-19 outbreak. So this guidance is meant to provide some significant regulatory relief, allowing working remotely for regulated institutions to have personnel working remotely, as well as to allow extensions for required filings. It's very helpful guidance that from DFS that hopefully is providing some necessary relief to New York DFS regulated entities who are trying to work through these very, very challenging times. Now, this week, FinCEN, from the Department of Treasury's FinCEN, issued its own guidance. And this applies to an even broader group of financial institutions, as the FinCEN is one of the regulators for all Bank Secrecy Act and AML compliance. And what FinCEN did is it issued guidance on this week on March 16th related to reporting under the Bank Secrecy Act. And the guidance encouraged financial institutions to communicate concerns related to the timely filing of reports that are required under the Bank Secrecy Act, or BSA. And FinCEN also identified several patterns of fraudulent transactions that have emerged since the outset of the COVID-19 outbreak. Unfortunately, what I'm sure you all see is in these type of disaster or critical situations that unfortunately you do see fraud patterns emerging. And FinCEN has very helpfully provided some guidance on some of the things to look for. But turning first to the BSA reporting requirements. FinCEN's guidance requests that financial institutions affected by COVID-19 communicate concerns they have related to the institution's ability to timely file reports under the BSA, including suspicious activity reports, SARs, and currency transaction reports, CTRs, to both FinCEN and the institution's functional regulator as soon as practicable. Financial institutions that anticipate delays in their ability to file BSA reports should also contact FinCEN's regulatory support section. The guidance applies to any COVID-19 affected financial institution, but like the DFS order, does not define what qualifies as COVID-19 affected. But it seems likely from the language in their guidance that financial institutions unable to meet the filing deadlines due to illnesses or absence of key employees, delays in the ability to gather information for purposes of reporting, and delays associated with constrained staffing or technological resources should qualify. Financial institutions that believe that the COVID-19 outbreak has hampered their ability to timely file BSA reports, such as SARS and CTRs, should discuss these circumstances when they contact FinCEN. And then finally, the guidance encourages financial institutions to let both FinCEN and their functional regulator know of any updates to their circumstances as those circumstances may change. Now, turning to the other subject of the FinCEN guidance, which is the fraudulent transactions, the information that FinCEN has identified in terms of certain fraudulent transaction trends that they've emerged since the COVID-19 outbreak. And this is useful for the purposes of BSA reporting. These trends include, first, imposter schemes. This includes bad actors impersonating government agencies such as the CDC, Center for Disease Control, international organizations such as the World Health Organization, and other healthcare organizations. These bad actors impersonate these agencies in order to solicit donations, steal personal information, or distribute malware. The second fraudulent trend that FinCEN has identified is investment scams. And these include promotions that falsely claim that products and services of publicly traded companies can prevent, detect, or cure coronavirus. Another category is project scams. This fraudulent trend covers the sale of unapproved or misbranded products that make false health claims pertaining to COVID-19. Including companies that have received public warning letters from the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, or the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. The guidance notes that FinCEN has received reports of fraudulent marketing of COVID-19 related supplies, including face masks. And then finally, FinCEN has identified insider trading. FinCEN has received reports of suspected insider trading related to COVID-19. In addition, FinCEN encourages financial institutions to review FinCEN's previous guidance with respect to disaster-related fraud and the related typologies, including benefit frauds, charitable frauds, cyber-related frauds. FinCEN has stated that financial institutions that observe suspicious transactions that could be associated with COVID-19 are encouraged to enter COVID-19 in field 2 of the SAR template and check the box applicable to the particular typology. Financial institutions should remain conscious of these fraud trends as they monitor for suspicious activity. Thank you for listening to Sullivan and Cromwell's Critical Insights. You can find more information on the financial institutions regulators' guidance in response to COVID-19 in our recent memos, New York DFS guidance in response to COVID-19 and FinCEN guidance in response to COVID-19, both dated March 19th. For more information on our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sulcrom.com. And thank you all for listening to me, and particularly during these challenging times. And please stay safe.